Why is Duke a one seed in Carolina? Why is Duke not a number one seed and Carolina is? And Duke won the ACC tournament and all that. What about their eight losses, Griff? How come I don't hear Jay Billis talking about their eight losses? How come magically Seth Dukey Davis, how come magically I don't hear him talking about their eight losses, Griff?
Well, I don't know if you listened to the preview show on CBS, but they had the director on there that said that they were on a Duke was on a four line going into the tournament.
So I heard him.
4-1 was an astronomical jump. And it just goes to show that the committee this year looked at the regular season, not just postseason.
Well, and we'll go through some of that here in a little bit. Guys, let me give you a couple of observations as I look out. And T. Jones, I'll bounce a couple off of you, and then I'll bounce a couple off of Griff, and then you guys can bounce a couple off each other if our damn phones will cooperate. They're starting to piss me off. Tony, you were mentioning ETSU before. Now, some had told me that they would be as high as a 13 seed. We knew that MTSU was going to garner around an 11 seed, but ETSU gets in as a 14 seed, which I think is kind of jobbing them for the basketball team they have. And they have to play a three-seeded Florida team, Tony, in Orlando on Thursday. What are your thoughts on that matchup for Forbesy and the guys?
Well, actually, Florida is a 4 seed, so it's a 4 against a 13.
That's what I meant. Yeah, 4-13. Yeah. My bad.
It's going to be challenging, especially down in Orlando. But, you know, Steve and Jason and Little Penny and Brooke Savage, those guys got a pretty good team because they're not going to be intimidated because, you know, they got Division I transfers, JUCO guys. I mean, Hannah Pereira played in Indiana. Tevin Glass played at Wichita State. T.J. Comer was a JUCO All-American. A.J. Merriweather was a good player, so they're going to go in with a senior-laden team, a little bit like we did when we were at Milwaukee, when we made some noise, when we beat Alabama in the first round, then we beat Boston College to get to the Sweet 16 and played the number one team in the country, Illinois, with D. Brown and Williams and those guys, Luther Head. But you know what? Florida's got a good team. I mean, hey, Kevon Allen is good, Casey Hill, I mean, Justin Leon. It's a team that only kryptonite that they seen this year was Vanderbilt.
That's right.
I mean, they beat Kentucky. I mean, lost to Kentucky. And Florida had a really good year, and they have really, really talented players. So it's going to be a tough game for ETSU. But in my bracket, I'm picking ETSU to advance.
We'll talk with Griff. Let me bring you in on that point in terms of ETSU and when you first saw that matchup. Thoughts on what we could see there from the Bucks? Obviously, as Tony was talking about before, Cromer and those guys played in some big basketball games. They beat a Greensboro team that swept them during the regular season to get there. Thing I like about ETSU is they're a lot more physical than a lot of mid-major basketball teams, with Honor Perea, the kid from Indiana. Plus, you would have to think somewhere along the way that Florida's loss to their big man, it will hurt them, and it could hurt them in this spot. What do you think, Griff?
I was thinking the same thing with Igbunu being hurt the rest of the season.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt Florida, but what makes me concerned about Florida's guard play, and they've got really good guards, and that's
Agreed.
A concern, but you look at matchups when you get in the NCAA tournament. I think the ETSU has a good matchup with this Florida team. And not to look too far ahead, I know we're going to go over this, but if they can get past Florida, and if Virginia can win, I think ETSU-Virginia is a great matchup for ETSU.
I love that Virginia team. They are so fun to watch. One of the funner teams in college basketball, coached by a guy that doesn't take himself seriously. His kids play really well, really hard. Hell, I think I think a lot of these 12-5 matchups, I think that North Carolina-Wilmington game with Virginia is going to be real interesting. I mean, these 12-5, 13-4s are always great theater. And when you look through the brackets this year, one thing that the chairman of of this tournament said, who's the AD up at Michigan State, is he said that this field is really stacked and packed, Mark Hollis said, to the point where you've got great matchups all over the place in the first round. You know, Tony, that's one thing about this tournament as we get ready for it, is that there's no denying, Tone, that this is one of the better first rounds I can ever remember in terms of these matchups.
It's a lot of parity in this particular tournament. And you know, I'm gonna pick a lot of upset.
Yeah.
It's gonna be some 8-9 games that's gonna be very interesting, and that's gonna make for interesting theater with the team that wins the 8-9 game to play one seed in each region.
No doubt about it. I mean, here's a great case in point, Griff. And you told me coming into the week, and I didn't want to believe you because I still don't want to believe you. But damn it, Vanderbilt got into the NCAA tournament. And I give them credit because they went to the SEC tournament and played really well. They played great in the last couple weeks of the season. Bryce Drew basically reinvented their basketball team right before our very eyes in terms of the way they played. And now they find themselves, Griff, against a team that's never been there, a Northwestern, who's happy to be there. They feel like World Series champions today. That's a great draw, Griff, for a Vanderbilt team that's playing really well.
Oh, it is a great draw, Tony. And looking forward to that game. And I've actually picked Vanderbilt to win that game. And then I think they're going to have a tough draw with Gonzaga. I've got Gonzaga going to Sweet 16, or at least Elite 8, I'm sorry. But I think it all goes back to matchups, and if Vanderbilt can get past Northwestern, maybe Gonzaga doesn't play well, and make SEC even prouder to beat Gonzaga. I know I will be pulling for SEC teams.
Not me.
Except Kentucky.
I ain't cheering for Vanderbilt, not a million damn years. You can have it. No offense.
No, I'm cheering for everybody but Kentucky.
You can have it. I ain't cheering for Alabama either. You can have it. That's me. That's where I'm, hey, at least I'm honest. But you played in the league, Griff. I mean, I'll give you credit. You played in the league, and there's a sense of pride. And I heard Calipari tonight in an interview say, you know, I get sick and tired of people telling me how bad our league is. And the league did get 5 teams in this year. And Vanderbilt did a lot of work, guys. You know what? We do this show in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where we're coming from tonight. That could have been the Vols, guys, if they would have had a final 2.5 weeks like Vanderbilt did. Vanderbilt closed.
Yeah, yeah. That's disappointing for you to say. But, you know, kudos to Bryce Drew and staff. One of my former players at Toledo, Casey Shaw, is a member of his staff. And obviously, it's Bryce's brother-in-law. He married his sister, who was a great leader also.
He married into the family.
I got Vanderbilt winning the game over Northwestern also, and I got him giving Gonzaga a battle. The only downside is the game is in Salt Lake City, and Gonzaga will have a great contingent of people coming from up there at the West in Seattle there. So it's gonna be good. I mean, you know, we had Karnowski, Jordan Williams, Miguel Williams, those guys had a great year, and I think this may be Mark Few's opportunity to get to the Final Four.
There's no question about it. And I would love to see Mark Few. You know, my thing is this year, I want some new blood. Tired of North Carolina, tired of Duke. I'm getting tired of Villanova. I want some new blood. I want some new blood this year in the Final Four, guys. When you look out over the regions, Griff, I'll go to you. What's the strongest region? Do you feel like when you look at it?
I think the strongest region, hands down, is South.
Tell me why.
You've got Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA. With the history there, I just think it stands out more than any of the other regions, and I think that the West region with Gonzaga is the weakest.
Yeah, I think the West is pretty weak. And I'll tell you something. When you start looking at Duke and Villanova in the East, and you look at Baylor sitting there as a 3 seed, Florida there, who we were talking about a few seconds ago, Virginia there as a 5 seed. I mean, that is a deep, that's another deep region. Tone, what do you think, Tone, when you look at the toughest and then the to the least?
I mean, I get as it right on the head. The South is no question is the deepest region. I mean, look at the history of those teams. North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA. And then you got Arkansas, who's been a national champion. And then you got Butler, who's been to Final Fours in the recent past. But don't sleep. Don't sleep on Kermit Davis and MTSU. They've won 30 games
this
year.
I'm feeling you.
They ran straight through the Sun Belt. And they will beat Minnesota. And then I think they'll play Butler in the second round. And I think they'll beat Butler. And I think Kermit will get to the Sweet 16. And he'll be auditioning for that LSU job.
Hey, Griff, how about Tony Jones, the audacious words of Tony Jones picking MTSU to have another magical run this year? You know, I watched their team last night with Giddy Potts playing his brains out against a Marshall team that really played well in that conference final. Hey, make no mistake about it, Marshall played really, really well. That Upshaw kid is a great player. Ja'Cory Williams, the transfer from Arkansas, is a wonderful player. They're really athletic. They're long. Their guards can play, can go. I love MTSU, Griff. I think they're in the state of Tennessee where we are. They're the best kept secret in this state as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I think they're the best team in the state. I went and watched them beat the crap out of Vanderbilt. I think it was 71-48. I saw probably about 10 games in person in Murfreesboro. Know their personnel really well. And just like Coach Jones, I've got them playing Butler. Beating Minnesota and playing Butler and beating Butler to advance to play UNC.
And you will be at that game in Memphis, right? Is that where that'll be?
I am planning on it, yes.
You'll be filing a full report from down there for us as events unfold. Guys, who's the most prone number one seed in your mind? Who's the first one seed that goes out? Tony.
In my mind, I think it's going to be Gonzaga. I think they'll go out. I don't think Vandy can beat them in the second round, but there's no question in my mind that Notre Dame can beat them. Notre Dame was right there with Duke in the ACC finals.
Yep.
And I've seen Notre Dame play all year. And that's the team that could get to the Final Four, even though I'm picking Arizona to get out of the West bracket.
Griff, first one seed that goes out is?
I've got the same up Notre Dame beating Gonzaga.
I've got Kansas, guys. Kansas disappoints year after year, and I think this year will be more of the same. On the night we break down March Madness here, my name's Tony Basilio. Tony Jones and Mark Griffin, two-thirds of our Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime family. As we look at the seeds, and if you've got any comments or you want to get in with us tonight, the number is 925-922-3155. Again, 865-922-3155. I'll tell you a team I like, guys, that I saw beat VCU earlier today is Rhode Island. Now, that Hurley family, Tone, up there in Elizabeth City, their father's a hard-nosed dude. Both of those sons are a couple of hard-nosed kids. And Rhode Island plays some hard-nosed basketball now.
No, Mr. Hurley well. And that's what you call him when you bubble into a gym. And I recruited this program, when he was the coach at St. Anthony's. I mean, obviously, he still is the coach at St. Anthony's. And his son played for him. And his sons are well-versed in basketball. Danny obviously played at Duke. And it's going to be a good tournament for Rhode Island, I believe.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm just glad to see them back in it. Griff, what about Florida Gulf Coast and the possibility of them pulling an upset? Somebody was just mentioning that a second ago on Periscope, watching us around the world this evening. Florida Gulf Coast draws Florida State in a game mark down in Orlando. And Florida Gulf Coast, we've seen this. They don't play scared. I mean, they're going to take them to Dunk City now. And they're playing a similar style of game they played, even though they're under a different coaching staff. But, Griff, they're still running, and they're still getting after it.
They are, and they have those. I can't recall the head coach's name. Maybe Coach Jones knows. I know he came from Kansas. But I'm not real sold on Florida Gulf Coast this year versus Florida State just because of the conference of playing in the ACC and the strength of schedule that Florida State. I've got Florida State beating Florida Gulf Coast, but that's one of those games that I'll be eager to watch and pulling for a close game. But for my bracket's sake, I'm hoping that Florida State wins.
Joe Dooley, former Kansas coach, and I agree with Mark. They don't have the same type of personnel that they had a few years ago when they called them Dunk City, Lob City, and they got to the Sweet 16. I think Florida State will beat them, but Florida State will make a quick exit because they're not a very good team. And I'm not just sold on Leonard Hamilton and the way he coaches in the tournament.
See, I think that's a great point. I think Florida State is a team, if you look at his history, is a team that you got to look at a candidate, an early candidate to make an early exit. And look, each year we see it, 12s and 5s, and teams on that 3 line have trouble. 14-3 games each year. I mean, it's a soft spot for whatever reason. And I don't know, Griff and Tone, both of you played and coached. Why is that? Why do we see 14s beating 3s? Why is that it's not a common occurrence, but it's a semi-common occurrence.
Well, in my, you got a lot of 13s that have senior-laden teams, upperclassmen-laden teams. And then you got the 3 and 4 seeds, usually from high major conferences, power 5 conferences, and they have freshmen that's playing a critical role in the team. And these guys, even the seniors, they just are not intimidated by these high major teams. And they think it's their time to shine. And they are ready to play. And in some instances, the high major teams think that they can step on the floor with their jerseys on and win the game. And we, as basketball people, know that's not the case.
Well, what I love, Griff, is some of these in-state matchups. I love this in-state matchup that you're talking about, Florida Gulf Coast there with Florida State. The fact that those Northern Kentucky kids are going to get a chance to play a Kentucky team that, though they look great in the SEC tournament, let's say this about Kentucky. If they don't shoot it well, they have a tendency at times not to guard if they don't shoot it well. And Griff, a lot of those Northern Kentucky kids in the summer get a chance to play with some of those veteran Kentucky players. Now, not the rent-a Kentucky players, the kids, but just people around that program. I mean, these kids all know each other. I bet that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it'll be a great opportunity for Northern Kentucky go against Kentucky. And like you said, the kids that played for Northern Kentucky more than likely grew up with the dream of playing basketball for Kentucky and just didn't have that goal realized. So it'll be a big step for them, and I know they'll give it their 100%. But I don't see that being a close game.
No.
But nonetheless, I think it's a great opportunity for a program to make a name for themselves. And it's really exciting to see, like you said, the interstate matchups.
Yeah, I enjoy the uniqueness of it. It's one of the things that makes the this time of the year so interesting. And you know, guys, the committee shows a sense of humor, whether they're trying it or not. In the play-in round, fellas, I don't know if you guys have put this connection together. Griff, have you put the Curry connection together in the play-in round?
I have not.
Okay.
Kansas State playing Wake.
Yeah, now what's the Curry connection, Tone? What is that?
A former athletic director at Kansas State, and which he was a graduate of Wake Forest.
You got it!
Wow.
That's the Curry Bowl. The Curry Bowl.
That's the Curry Bowl.
In the play-in round. And I will ask you guys, because Wake Forest has won four of the last five. They have got it together. I'm just not sold, guys, on that Kansas State team, nor am I sold on the league that they come from. I will take Curry's alma mater versus a school he comes from. That he just left, and they're celebrating. I will take Wake Forest fellers to upset your Kansas State, whatever they're called. What do y'all think?
Well, I agree. I think Wake will beat Kansas State. Kansas State came to Knoxville
and
got obliterated by UT. Just to back up a little bit, Northern Kentucky head coach John Brannan was a former assistant at Alabama. So he knows Kentucky well. They don't have the personnel that UK has, but that team is going to be well prepared, and they're going to have a game plan to try and take away the things Kentucky do well, because coach knows that team, and he knows Cal Kendis.
No walkover, Griff. If Kentucky doesn't shoot it well, oh my God, it'd be so funny. When you looked out the draw, guy, you talked about the SEC before, and Griff, it's a point of pride for you. It's a point of pride for me to cheer against just about every team in the Southeastern Conference. Now, I will root for the in-state schools minus Vandy. I will be cheering hard for East Tennessee State. I will be cheering hard for MTSU. Griff, when you look down at the SEC draw, Kentucky notwithstanding, who are the teams that should pack lightly when you look at their first round games?
Wow, that's a good question. I have each SEC team winning the first round. I don't have anybody falling first round, so they're at least going to make it to the second round.
Now, are you home for the evening? You're not on the road.
Excuse me?
Are you home for the evening? Don't scare me like that.
Yeah, I'm at home.
Okay. Tony, I'm Griff messing with you, Griff. Do you have, do you have everybody advancing from the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, you know what? But the only reason I got South Carolina beat Marquette, because the game is in Greenville, South Carolina.
Same here.
The game was in Milwaukee, where there is a first and second round fight, I would turn that around. I think Arkansas will beat Seton Hall. I think Vandy will win. And obviously, I've already predicted that ETSU is going to be Florida.
My number.
Oh, I forgot about that.
My number, if you want to call in, is 865-922-3155. Again, 922-3155. I'm on a different number that I generally am on. Again, 922-3155. And a reminder for you, those of you viewing this tonight on Periscope, Beano will be by here tomorrow night for the women's show. As soon as the women's bracket is announced, Beano and Charlie Cream will be on here. 922-3155 is my number, 3155. Beano and Charlie Cream tomorrow night, breaking down these matchups in the women's round right here, TonyBasilio.com and on your Tony Basilio radio show app. And then hopefully right here on Periscope as well. And, you know, kudos to Beano for going the extra mile tomorrow evening. Guys, as we look through this field tonight, the last four out, Syracuse has had... That's right. Pam Ward is also going to be calling in and joining Beano tomorrow evening. Hopefully, Maria Cornelius as well. And you'll know for our callers, if you hear us in your earpiece, that means you're on hold and I'm coming to you momentarily. Does Syracuse, Griff, with a 10-8 record in that league, do they have a beef that they didn't get in? Or is the fact that them being 2-11 on the road, 6-8 versus the RPI top 50. What should weigh more when it comes to Syracuse's body of work? Because they are 10-8 in a great Atlantic Coast Conference. I mean, let's not. It is number one with a bullet, number one by far in the league. When we start talking about college basketball, did they get hosed, Griff? What do you think?
Let me go back to the previous question. I forgot to mention I have Florida losing to ETSU, so they're the first ones that
okay,
will be
good.
Packing to go home.
Okay, good.
As far as Syracuse, I think we have an issue concerning USC getting in because I thought I heard the announcer say that USC's last 17 games, they were 9-8.
Yes. That's correct. Boy, I'm having phone line issues. This is no fun. Tell you what we're going to do. Because we have it. This thing is smoking, man. I hope those guys will call back. Maybe not. Let me get my technical support down here. AKA my lovely wife. That's an odd deal. That's not a good sign for my show tomorrow. Where I come from, Kenny Chesney. That is not a good sign for tomorrow's show. That is not a good sign for tomorrow's show. Griff, are you back with us?
Yes.
Go ahead and state your case, George Korda.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
I know. I think we got blowed up. You were talking about Syracuse. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was saying Syracuse, I think, has some beef with USC making it based on USC's last 17 games. I believe they were 9-8 in a much weaker conference. So I think that's the only team they can look at to say that they could make the – tournament, but even Boeheim conceded to say that they didn't do enough this year. So every year you're going to have one or two teams that don't make it. It just seems that this year, Tony, more teams that were supposed to win the postseason tournament did. So you have fewer teams being knocked off the bubble.
And that's a great point. There's not a tremendous beef. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Griff. Stay right there. I'm going to call you back in a minute because we have, you ready for this? We have to go to our main phone lines. We were on our backup phone lines. We're going to see if the main ones work. Griff, I'll be reconnecting with you and Tony here momentarily, okay?
No worries.
Thank you, brother. That's why, and to the callers, stay right there and I'll have a different connection number for you. But, as a way of resetting things here, my name is Tony Basilio. We are discussing the brackets as they sit. We've had a lot of interesting discussion thus far. Tony Jones and Mark Griffin, when we were rudely interrupted, and you heard those loud noises when they got blowed up and blowed off and blowed out. And that's the story of my life. Which, you know, I'd rather pay you now than pay you later. Is it good? And let me see if I can reconnect with these clowns. Let me call. Here, you have Tony's numbers out there on that sheet, if you wouldn't mind calling him, and I'll call Griff back here. And this is fun stuff, you know, it's just on a Sunday night, and we're just relaxed and kicking it here. And now my number is 865-200-5402, if you wish to call again. 865-200-5402. And yes, we have backup phone lines here. It's a big time operation. Whatever you do, don't try this at home. And we run our backup lines, and I don't know what the deal is. We have to have them initialized or whatever the deal is. But whatever you do, you don't try this at home. You could get hurt. You really could get hurt if you try this at home. You there, Griff? Stay right there, babe. This is outstanding. Now we're going to all sound better. We're going to sound juiced and jacked, and we're ready to go. And Griff, as you were saying, make your point. Boeheim really didn't bitch and moan, and there's really not a tremendous amount of controversy. As if you want to call in, my number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Anywhere you are in the world tonight, we'll talk some hoops with you. If you want to know about your team and you have a thought, as there's some people on Periscope who have never seen us before, they're asking me my number, and we would love to talk with you on this glorious evening. Hey, listen. There's nothing like this sports spectacle that's the NCAA tournament. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing like it. There's very little controversy this year. Hey, Duke is bitching and moaning, and their Duke Army and all the Dukies, and the Dukie on CBS is bitching and moaning, Lanny Davis' son. Hey, let me tell you something. You get to play your way out of it. You get to play Villanova up there in Madison Square Garden, maybe. 865-200-5402 is my number. But, Tony, that's one of the points Griff was making, is that this thing, this year, there's just not a tremendous amount of controversy, which tells me there's too many teams in the field, guys. 68 teams is too many.
You know, we had it at 64. Now we, you know, then we went to 66, and then now we're at 68. I think that's a good number. We don't have a lot of controversy. You know, I got cut off momentarily, and
yeah.
I failed to hear Griff's commentary on Syracuse. But you know, I think they got a gripe. I think they got more of a gripe this year than when they got in last year. I think they shouldn't have got in. This is the reason: they finished ahead of Wake in the ACC. They beat Wake. They beat Duke. They beat Florida State. They beat Miami. You know, they beat good teams. Oh, mind you, they beat them at home, and they didn't have a stellar road record. But they finished ahead of Wake in the ACC. Period.
Tony, they're 2-11 on the road. 2-11?
It's not who you play. It's who you beat. They did, that is their record on the road, but they won some home games. They beat Duke. You know, they beat Florida State. They have five top 50 wins. And five of their wins are teams that's in the tournament. I bet you some teams that's in this tournament that was at large that didn't beat five teams that's in the tournament.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I would bet you that's absolutely correct. The other thing about Syracuse is they're 6-8 versus RPI top 50 teams. I mean, they're sub 500. Now they do have, as you said, I mean, those six wins are pretty damn good wins. There's no doubt that's true. But you know what? For all the haranguing they've done through the years and everything they got away with, and they got away with one last year. You know, these things even out, as they say in the trade. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. My name's Tony Basilio. Great Mark Griffin, the great Tony Jones. And let's get our first caller into the evening. Hello and welcome in. It's March Madness Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony Mark. How's it going? This is Chris from Mount Carmel.
Hey, Chris. Welcome in from beautiful Mount Carmel.
Guys, I just pretty excited about ETSU. I like their draw. I think Florida is a very winnable game. And looking at the Orlando bracket, I mean, I think there's a chance for maybe three upsets down in Orlando. I'm just going to get you guys' thought and opinion on that.
Griff, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think there's going to be some upsets, and I believe what's in the caller that I think the number one upset would be the ETSU game is what I have. I don't really have many others in that bracket early on, but what a favorable matchup for ETSU, especially with their Florida's big guy being injured for the rest of the season. I just think it looks well. And like you said earlier, Tony, with the veterans that ETSU brings, they've had experience. With transfers, JUCO players that have transferred in. So I really like that draw, and I'd be really surprised if ETSU does not beat Florida.
And you're feeling my Florida State Dunk City, aren't you? You're feeling that. And Tony half said it before when he said Hamilton's teams don't perform as they should in March Madness. Look, Florida State, make no mistake, that's a very good regular season basketball team, no doubt about it. But his forte is not exactly tourney basketball. So Mount Carmel, are you feeling that as well?
Yeah. Look at his record in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
I mean, he's always, like, he's always prone for big-time upsets. So I like Gulf Coast. I think the Virginia game is going to be close.
I agree with that.
I think ETSU will win. So I'd like to be down there. There's going to be some good basketball on Thursday.
I'll tell you one thing that's going to be real interesting. What kind of crowd will Florida and Florida State draw, Griff? Because Florida doesn't even draw when they play in their own building. Won't that be interesting, Griff, to see what kind of crowd they draw down there in Orlando?
I'd be surprised, Tony, if you don't see ETSU and Florida Gulf Coast bring more people than you see Florida State, Florida.
It's so embarrassing.
In their own state.
It means nothing to those people. It's so embarrassing. Chris, anything else for us tonight?
No, I just hope ETSU can pull it off. And I remember quite close to 30 years ago, remember when they played Oklahoma? I think it was a Friday evening game, and they was drilling the crap out of Oklahoma.
It was in the afternoon. It was Friday afternoon, and it was that was the Alvin West, Calvin Talford, Greg Dennis, Mr. Jennings team, and they were balling the hell out. They had like a 10-point lead late, and they lost it.
Yeah, I think it was a 20-point lead. Was it the first
half?
And they lost. Yeah, that was.
And that was a great Oklahoma team. That was Stacey King, Mookie Blaylock, those guys. I mean, that was not. That was a great Oklahoma team.
Yeah, I remember that game well. That was a 16 seed too for that ETSU team.
Wow.
But I appreciate you taking my call, Tony.
Thank you, Chris. That was the days of. Oh God! What was ETSU's coaches then? Coach then, Mark Les. He ended up at NC State.
Robinson.
Les Robinson. Tone, your thoughts on the gentleman that said that Orlando could be a bracket that explodes? Tony Jones.
I've already gone on record to say I think ETSU will beat Florida.
Yes.
In the Orlando region, you got Xavier in Maryland.
Yep.
Playing in that region, I think Maryland will win. Xavier, I think they're just getting in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. And I just think Florida State is going to beat Florida Gulf Coast because I don't think Florida Gulf Coast has the same type of personnel that they had a couple years ago. And I think Florida State will win that game. But I think Maryland will beat Florida State in the second round. Florida State won't get past Maryland and a good Mark Turgeon Maryland Terrapin team.
865-200-5402. I think the ACC, obviously, they've got a ton of teams in. But, guys, this could be a year where they have a really quality tournament. Because Tony was talking before about that Notre Dame team. You know, I'm looking at them yesterday, and I'm thinking that Kentucky ought to be really thankful that they're not playing them tomorrow in the conference final. I mean, the ACC is... This year, that thing is off the charts competitive, the amount of great basketball that was played in that league. I'm talking about off the charts in terms of what they were. One other thought, guys, before we go back to the phones. South Carolina, a team that when they had the first seeding that came out, when they announced the initial 16 seeds, they were among those. I think they were a 4 seed at one point. Guys, they walk into, they fell several lines, is what I'm trying to say here. Griff, they really stumbled home, didn't they? Carolina.
Yes, they did. I think people really, once again, the scouting report on Sundarius Thornwell, trying to shut him down as best they could. You don't have a lot of depth with South Carolina. I think they live and die based on how Thornwell plays. I'm just curious how they're going to play in this tournament. But because they are playing in Greenville, that's the only reason that I have them beating Marquette. Like Coach Jones said, if they were playing in Milwaukee, I would turn it around. But their fans are going to travel well, and I think that's what's going to be the thing that gets them over the hump for the first round. But I see them getting destroyed by Duke in the second round.
Oh, my gosh. Over there in Greenville. Thanks for playing. It was really fun. Pick up your consolation prize, your case of Rice-A-Roni, and take it to the house. Because you got no chance. Although I would love to see it. I'd love to see Frank Martin over there spontaneously combust with about 2.5 minutes left in a one-point game of Carolina. Tone, how do you think old Frank Martin would handle like a one-point game playing Duke over there? What amount of sweat you think he would have pouring through him? That poor guy.
Well, it depends on if John Curry showed up and he was in the building. Mm-hmm. And it was really getting fired up.
Curry, the Curry Bowl Tuesday night, guys. I mean, Wake Forest and Kansas State, be there, as Freddie Miller once said. And if you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. We talk about the matchups that are, the tournament that's going to be, the fact that in my lifetime, this is the most interesting first round that we're about to see. Some great, and I'm talking about great matchups in the first round. Going to be some really interesting basketball. And a lot of interesting stuff, as it generally happens, is going to happen in that 8-9, 7-10, 12-5, 13-4, which we've already discussed a couple of these. It is going to get interesting. And we'll go back to our phones and grab our next phone call. If you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome into our next caller. That's you. Go right ahead. Hello, are you there? Once, twice, and sold. You know, guys, as we talk about this deal, when you guys were looking down at the brackets, did the committee get it wrong anywhere? I mean, we were talking about Duke before and the fact that they would have a beef. Is there anybody else that really, when you look at the bracket, really has a beef in terms of where they're seated, where they're heading? Some people on Periscope, Tony, are saying that Middle got screwed with their seed. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Middle's about where they need to be. What do y'all think?
Middle, in my estimation, Tony, being Mark, I think Middle got a great draw.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to beat a Minnesota team.
I agree.
That lost one of their top players. And, you know, I think Kermit Davis will outclass Richard Little Rick Pitino in the game. And I think Middle, will beat the winner of Butler and Winthrop. Because Kermit, again, is a more accomplished coach of those two also, and then I think the dream will end in the Sweet 16 when they play North Carolina in Memphis, Tennessee, and I do believe that will happen, no question about it.
I'll tell you this, because Griff's going to be down there at that game. Griff, I'm telling you right now, if Middle can get there like Tone's talking about, they will not blink on that court with North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina better bring that lunch pail, because that Upshaw kid and Giddy Potts, those guys are not going to blink in that spot. I can promise you that if they get there.
No, you're right. And what's really great about Middle Tennessee is they're not really changing their style of offense for the tournament, because you see during the tournament play slows down,
yep,
more guard-oriented, free-throw yep line-oriented,
yep,
as far as getting to the line.
Yep.
Well, Kermit Davis already plays a slowdown, gets more passes,
mm-hmm,
during the time of the shot clock,
mm-hmm,
and is not one to really rush up and down the court, because that's what Marshall tried to do to them,
mm-hmm,
yesterday, and Middle Tennessee just doesn't have it. They're very well coached, very disciplined as a team. They play great as a team. I think they have all the pieces in place to make a run to the Sweet 16 as well. I think they have a great matchup as a 12 seed against Minnesota. And once again, to get Butler, I think I've seen Butler play several times this year as well. And
yep,
I think that Middle, if anybody's got a good shot to make it to the Sweet 16, I think that it's definitely Middle Tennessee State, and not just because they're from Murfreesboro and an emotional favorite for me.
Be so fun to see that. I mean, last year that win over Michigan State is, I mean, it's top five memory of mine. And stupid me, I watched that thing, Griff, on a treadmill at the gym. And I was in there with some other lady, and we were like screaming and yelling at the end of that thing. We just couldn't believe it. We're both walking the treadmill, just screaming and yelling. That's the type of geek I am. Let's go back to the phones. Just total myself. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. We talk about tonight the March Madness, the March to Madness, and then the March to Sadness. Your number one seeds in the not-in tournament, Konzo Martin, who's trying to get out of Cal, would love to get that Missouri job, would love to get involved with that Illinois job. John Gross goes out, Mark, one of the all-time greatest things I've ever seen. It was a terrible, sad thing for Michigan, what occurred, but they went out there in their pajamas. I don't know if you saw that the other day, Griff, in their warm-ups.
Yes.
And beat his team's brains in. That was classic in their practice uniforms, right?
Yes.
mean, that's the type of thing that can only happen here to the University of Tennessee. I mean, what are you doing? Illinois was once so proud in basketball, and it makes no sense. Why can't they win? It makes no sense. Back to the phones we go. We'll get our next call in. But your last four out, your number one seeds in the NIT are Cal, Syracuse, Illinois State, who I think had a beef, and also Iowa. Iowa, who always seems to be on that line of NIT, last four out, first four in. They live on the line, so to speak. Let's get our next call in at 865-200-5402. As we talk March Madness here on this special edition tonight with TB Mark Griffin and the great Tony Jones. Hello and welcome in.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Go right ahead. Yes, sir.
I'm just curious how you think Louisville's going to do this tournament. They got eliminated in their first game of the ACC tournament, and they've had a rough last few games. How do you think they'll fare off?
Griff, what do you think of Louisville?
I've got them going to Elite Eight. I really do think it's going to be a great matchup. I've got them playing Michigan. Michigan's really playing well right now,
yep,
so I think that's a major concern for Louisville, but I still see Louisville getting by Michigan. And then that game will be a harder game than their next game, which I do have Oregon beating Rhode Island, but I think without Boucher, Oregon team is a much different team. I don't think they match up as well against Louisville, so I've got Louisville playing Kansas and Kansas winning because they're playing in Kansas City.
You know, here's my good news for you. If Louisville gets Kansas and Kansas City, Kansas is a perennial underachiever, and we've seen Patino's teams before, and if you're going to beat Louisville, if you're going to beat Kansas, rather, you've got to be physical, and Louisville, I think, has the bodies to match up with them. And you know what? To your point about them going out early, sometimes that can be a real blessing to get that rest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, anything else for us tonight? Thank you, brother.
Nope, that's it.
All right, man, thank you. Tone, your thoughts on Louisville, their draw, and their potential in this tournament?
I like Louisville, you know, led by Donovan Mitchell,
yep.
Really good player. I think I got them losing to Oregon. I watched Oregon, play against Arizona, last night. And even though, Chris Boucher is out, they still are a formidable team. And I think they'll beat Louisville. I'm just not sold on Louisville's basketball team this year. I just don't think that they have, the cachet and the talent, to get to a Elite Eight, basketball game. I think Oregon does. And just wanted to share with you guys, hot off the presses, NIT has selected Dayfield, and Ole Miss and Georgia from the SEC will be participating, and no other team.
You're kidding.
Alabama.
No Alabama?
Alabama made it.
Oh, Alabama made it.
What about my Tennessee Volunteers? Give me some good news here, Griff.
Mom's the word.
What region you got Alabama in, Mark?
They just showed it on TV. It just passed, so I'm not sure. But they did have Alabama playing.
Okay.
You sure? Are you sure you're not watching the CBI show, Griff?
I got Ole Miss in Region 1 playing against Monmouth.
Oh.
Which is the regular season champ of the MAC. And I got Georgia, playing hosting Belmont.
Wow.
That's gonna be a tough game.
Damn straight.
That's gonna be a tough game for the Bulldogs in Athens.
I think Monmouth won 28 or 29 games. So, Ole Miss better, shall we say, buckle the chin strap in that one. And
you're right. You're right, Mark. Alabama will host Richmond, in Region 4.
And that'll be a nice basketball game because Richmond can play.
Yep.
See, I like what they've done, guys, with that NIT. In years past, the Tennessees of the world would be in that thing. Reward the Belmonts of the world and let them play. I think that is a smart move. What they've done is they've added that mid-major, major element to that field that the NCAA tournament has, and it creates better matchups. And I always talk about that Robert Morris trip when Kentucky went up there and beat them. It didn't mean matter to Kentucky's program, but they went up there and lost that game. But it meant everything to Robert Morris, and it's going to breathe life into that tournament. I mean, seeing a Belmont, who we're familiar with, Ricky Bird going on the road down there at Georgia, I'm telling you what, they'll walk into that gym as a live dog. It'll be interesting basketball. I'd watch that game middle of this week. Why not?
I think it's going to be a great game. I mean, you know, Coach Bird, obviously his record speaks for itself.
Yep.
And I agree with you, Tony B, that the NIT committee has done a great thing by mandating the conference champion in these leagues. If they don't win their tournament,
yep,
and don't get that automatic bid, they're automatically into the NIT. That's a mandate, and I think that's great, and that's what makes the NIT more competitive, and it's more theater, and it's not a second-rate tournament anymore.
No.
I think it's a good, credible tournament,
yeah,
a postseason tournament that teams really aspire to get to if they don't make the NCAA tournament. I know I was down in Nashville this week and I talked to Coach Pearl and, mm-hmm, and he said, hey, you know, we lost to Missouri, but I think we got a good chance to get to the NIT and that's what I really want. But Auburn doesn't get in. So,
Ken? Like 18 wins, right?
18
yeah,
and 14, and had some nice wins,
yeah,
during the year.
Non-conference, they had some nice wins. But here's the thing. Years past, they get in. This year, Griff, you ain't getting in. And you know what? I would rather see than them play. I would rather see an Illinois State reward them, a Belmont reward them, as we were talking about before, a Monmouth reward them, even if you got to send those teams on the road, whatever the case may be. The Tennessee Volunteers, in case you're interested, not in the NIT. They, I think, will be playing I think they're going to open up probably Wednesday is what I'm hearing down in Daytona. Sand volleyball will get underway. Griff, isn't that just a shame that we can't even make the damn NIT around here? I mean, isn't that just a shame?
Yeah, it was an expectation. I mentioned at the beginning of the season that I thought Tennessee would have at least 17 wins and go to the NIT tournament, and unfortunately I was wrong. So it is disappointing this time of year when you, this is the, my favorite time of year to see all these teams that are being publicized and have a shot.
Yep.
You know, everybody's excited. It's a new season. It's just a lot of fun for fans and everyone involved. And then for the Tennessee fans, like, okay, who can we follow now? Or who do we want to lose or win? Or which teams do we, have a sort of emotion towards that we want them to do well? And, once again, orange and white aren't going to be there.
Well, and it's a great question because now you pick teams. And this thing is such a unique event. Tony, you can walk into a basketball game. I mean, I'll never forget as us growing up, like a guy like Fenice Dembo from Wyoming. I mean, you'll get these guys come out of nowhere, and they'll put on freaking shows. That guy, Big Show Arsenault at Weber State, who shot North Carolina out of it one night. I think he had 47 on a Friday night, guys. And this is what this event does. It's what this event does.
Hey, what about the Fly Williamses that all and you know those type of guys, and you mentioned Fenice Dembo, who had a cup of coffee with my Detroit Pistons, and he really did an unbelievable job when he was with Wyoming. You're gonna get these type of guys, the Ed McCann, George Tucker's at Milwaukee, when we were there. It's just unbelievable, man. It's just an exciting time. And I'm really disappointed, Tony B and Mark, for our fan base.
Yep.
Because this is the best fan base in America, bar none. Bar none. I've been in almost every arena, in this country. And this fan base is passionate and it loves, this home team. And for us not to be at least in the NIT for two consecutive years, is
mind-boggling. Well, it's a nice postscript for Diamond Dave Hart, who's destroyed this athletic department. And I'm talking about that in my blog tomorrow. And I mean, there are some mind-boggling numbers about the Dave Hart error. I mean, I'll give you something. We've had one under him in his 5 years NCAA tourney appearance. Belmont's had three, Chattanooga's had one, ETSU's had one, Memphis has had three, MTSU has had five, and Vanderbilt's had three, guys. Vanderbilt had one last year and fired their coach. I mean, stop me when I'm lying to you. Stop me when I'm lying to you. And so hopefully with a change of AD here locally where we are, hopefully that means that our Tennessee Volunteers get back to playing some NCAA tournament basketball, because, Tone, truly, there's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it.
It's nothing like it. I mean, the bus that you're on, you're getting a police escort to the gym for practice.
Mm.
You're getting a police escort to the game. I mean, everything is first class. I mean, the media, it's just, they're just on you. It's the national media. It obviously our local media is there, but the national media is there. It's so special.
Yep.
And I just, every kid that comes to the university that I love, the University of Tennessee, I just wish that they were able to experience it. Me as a coach, it was just, very memorable, very memorable.
And Griff, I've got a friend like your wife who's a Carolina fan. And I mean, this guy loves Carolina, lives and dies with him, North Carolina. And I said to him, I said, you know, I can't even imagine what that's like. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I just can't even imagine what it would be like to for the team that you love. Now, sure, Carolina's going to break their fans' heart. They don't win a championship every year. But you watch a team have one of those runs to the Final Four, like what Wichita State did a couple years ago. Carolina's had some really interesting teams.